AM 1240 WJON. I'm joined now by Dr. Perry Halkaitis. Dr. Halkaitis, thanks for taking the time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Before we get started, why don't you tell me about your background, and then you can also talk about the book that you have.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for that question. So I am a public health psychologist. I've been doing research on HIV and other health issues affecting the LGBTQ population for some two decades, looking at the intersection of mental health and drug abuse and sex risk and all the other factors and all the other health disparities that affect the population. My last book, which just came out last month, called Out in Time, documents the life experiences of three generations of gay men, what I call the Stonewall generation, the AIDS generation, and the queer generation. And the purpose of the book was really to see how much things have changed or stayed the same in the last 50 years since the Stonewall riots of 1969, with regard to like the well-being, the psychological health, the coming out process, the social conditions that shape the lives of gay men. So that's what I did. I interviewed like 23 different men ranging from ages 19 to age 78, featured 15 of them in the book. And I will tell you what I found was that despite the improvement in some social conditions and laws and policies, the psychological process, that feeling of loneliness, that feeling of otherness, that feeling of being different is pretty consistent across time, across generation, and continues to be what I believe to be one of the main factors that the LGBT population continues to have such high levels of health challenges that they face.
So in your findings, have you seen a big difference or small difference or no difference at all in the way that gay men are dealing with their lifestyle as opposed to what they were many years ago?
Yeah, there's the obvious differences, like, people aren't getting arrested anymore, right? Right? And people aren't being, like, harassed. But people are still being harassed in different ways. So while the aggressions that I think the LGBT population that we face, are not as overt necessarily as they were 50 years ago, they are still present. So yes, on the surface, things look better. But when you scratch beneath the surface, it's still not great. And, kids are still being kicked out of their homes when they're coming out because of their gay or lesbian or trans. Churches, other religious institutions are rejecting people. And quite frankly, we have a federal administration that has not been particularly friendly to the LGBTQ population. So, better, still not great.
Why do you think it's important to know the history?
Well, I think that American history is shaped by the life experiences of all people. And I think for a very long time in our country, we've told history from one perspective. So we know that there are two states now in the United States that require LGBTQ history in the curriculum. That is California and New Jersey. And why I think it's important to include LGBTQ people and women and people of color and people with disability and all different kinds of people in these history books is because it messages to young kids that they are part of the fabric of America. When you don't look like the people in the history books, you feel different, you feel isolated, you feel marginalized. When you look like the people in the history books, when you are like the people in the history books, you feel like part of a country and part of the great experiment that we know as America.
Do you feel that gay men are feeling more accepted than they did before? And in what ways are they still not?
Yeah, I think some gay men are. I think the experience varies from person to person. Certainly the literature, the research, my own research supports that when kids are raised by families that are more educated and have higher levels of tolerance and have more worldly views, they tend to have better reactions to their child's coming out. But families that are still stuck in very conservative ways, directed by very conservative religious beliefs, it's still very hard for them to reconcile the relationship with their gay children. So look, I think that what the one advantage is nowadays, if you're an 18-year-old young gay man or gay woman coming out or trans person, at least there are media representations out there. There is an internet, there is TV, there is, there's magazine stories. There, LGBTQ people are visible in a way that they weren't before. When I came out in 1981, there was no visibility. Fast forward, 30-something years later, there's much more visibility. That's the piece that I think makes it a little more tolerable. But the relationship with the family, the challenges that so many gay people face, they're still inherent in the multitude of relationships that children have with their families, their extended and nuclear family.
Dr. Halkaitis, what do you say to individuals, and I still hear this sometimes, that suggest that, that people that are gay are choosing that lifestyle? It's not really a choice. They are born that way, right?
So I will first personalize it, and then I will intellectualize it. I didn't choose to be a gay man. I am a gay man. I at 4 or 5 years old, I knew I had feelings that were different. If I had a choice, would my life have been easier if I was a straight man? Probably would have been a lot easier. And that doesn't mean I want to be a straight man. It just means that I know that social circumstances would have made it that way. There is this very strong literature now. It's documented in science that people are born with all these predispositions, all of these traits, hair color, eye color, height, weight, you know, eating habits, and sexual orientation and gender identity, and then that interacts with the environment and the trait comes forward. So my very strong belief is that people are very much born this way, and that, you know, trying to change it is trying to change somebody's DNA, and that's not going to be effective at all.
Does that apply to those that are transsexual as well?
Yes, it does. It does. I think gender identity and sexual orientation, as we know, are two very separate concepts, two very separate ideas. Somebody can be gay and trans, or somebody can be straight and trans, and there's all these permutations. But the way one feels about one's gender also, that I think, like, the science in the next 50 years is, you know, genetic science is going to advance us to such a place that we will have a much clearer understanding about what this is. Now, my hope is, and my prayers are, that people don't use that for evil. But, you know, just like I'm born with brown eyes, and I'm born to be 6 foot tall, and I'm born to have, like, you know, broad shoulders, I was also born to be gay.
Tell me about discrimination. How much of that still exists, and where does it seem to be most prevalent?
Yeah, it exists everywhere. So hate crimes have been on the rise against the LGBT. Well, hate crimes have been on the rise in our country, unfortunately. But hate crimes have been on the rise against the LGBT population since 2014. In fact, in the last year, according to the FBI statistics, there are like about 1,100 to 1,200 incidents of victimization and harassment and killing of LGBTQ people. So discrimination happens in lots of different ways. And I use the term macroaggression, which are, you know, the violent attacks and the killing and the calling people by the F word and other, like, horrific terms. And there's the microaggressions, which are the subtle innuendos that people make, the assumptions that people make that everybody is straight, the side comments and the giggles that people, you know, about somebody's sexuality. Those exist. Those latter types of harassment exist very commonly in all walks of life. I will tell you, as an academic, as somebody who's been at two major universities, you would think that the universities are enlightened, but in fact, I've experienced those kinds of microaggressions. So harassments are wide and varied. I think that, as we know in our society, when people have multiple minority statuses, for example, if somebody's gay and black and not affluent and lives in a less than desirable neighborhood, then those conditions multiply and those people are even more vulnerable. The white middle class or upper middle class gay man growing up in the suburbs certainly will experience harassment, but probably not as much as the young Latinx man growing up in the middle of, like, an intolerant community in a poor family. So the whole picture, the whole repertoire of experience tells us, yes, discrimination happens. It happens in the church. It happens in the neighborhood. It happens in the university. It happens in our government, quite frankly. And it varies in its strength and power and ultimate hatefulness. But the effect is still the same. I'm going to give you one more story. You know, I'm a 56 year old man who's, like, you know, forged a very successful career and very comfortable and in my skin and who I am and my family. When I came out with amazing would be an understatement of the term of how they were. But, you know, even I had trouble with these situations. So, for example, at our school, the Rutgers School of Public Health, where I'm the dean, we have forged and put forward the first ever concentration on LGBTQ public health. I'm really, really proud of that. This was the first in the world. Somebody made a snide comment that the school had too much LGBTQ. That, like, cut through me like a knife. Right, because I felt like it was a personal attack on me and a personal attack on my population. So that's just one example of something that might not seem like a harassment or victimization, but something that happens on a daily basis to LGBTQ people.
If people do want to get a hold of any of your books, especially your most recently released book, Out in Time, how can they find that, Doctor?
Well, yeah, so you can go to my website, www.perryandhalkitis.com, or you can go to your local bookstore. We always love to support our local bookstores. Or you can go on Amazon or any other dealers, and it's available on audio and Kindle and paper and anything that you like. Lots of different places to get my book.
All right, Dr. Halkitis, thanks for taking the time today. I do appreciate it. Have a great day.
Hey, thank you so much. You too. Bye-bye.
That's Dr. Perry N. Halkitis. The book is called Out in Time, The Public Lives of Gay Men from Stonewall to the Other Queer Generation. This is AM 1240 WJON.